can recall.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh. Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight to the liver.
His kicks look like so strong.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, it's like got a lot of leverage with that long, those long ass legs, you know?
Yeah.
I saw in like, I've seen like some more inexperienced fighters, they start with doing like a leg kick in the first round and then they stop for the rest, even if they had success with it.
Oh shit, that was nice. Nice.
But you see somebody with like John's experience, they never stop, they just keep on.
Yeah, but still, it's like sometimes it's dangerous to kick before you punch or you do something to like distract them. If you just go for the kick straight away and you have a crazy guy like Tyson kind of explosiveness, yeah, it's gonna fucking knock you out straight away because like you don't Michael set Chandler. It up, you know.
Yeah. Kind of setting up the.
Yeah, you have to do kick. Like something to make them think about something. Yeah. If you just throw it, it's so easy to see.
Okay.
It's like trying to a flying armbar that everybody knows is coming. Why should you try it? You know?
Yeah.
Because of the glory.
I'm going to do it anyway. For glory. Oh, shit. Those elbows, man.
He was training like the 12 to 6 elbows. In the.
Yeah, that's allowed now.
Now they can, yeah.
But it's not strong at all, you know?
Yeah.
But it would be cool, like, he winning a fight. With
yeah.
Finally! He got disqualified one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Rogan made a great point there. It's like, this is not as powerful as this. So this is allowed.
It's not, if you're in the street fight and you're like, I'm going to do like, yes, with this.
Have you heard what where that rule came from?
Yeah, it was like breaking bricks.
Yeah, the kung fu guys break bricks. They're like, oh, this is too destructive to have an MMA.
Yeah. They believed in some kind of a big-bellied karate guy.
Oh, my probably. God. John Jones has like probably the best ground and pound in the game.
Those pointy elbows works a lot.
Who do you think the ground and pound is better, Khabib's or John Jones?
John Jones, I think. I feel like Khabib is better at like holding you down and doing. He does like very. I think he does a lot of volume.
Okay.
But when you see John, he has like such power.
Yeah,
I think the Dagestanis is like very good at like eating your energy when you're on the ground. Okay. And sometimes you let you up to take you down again. Mm-hmm. So you give you a false hope.
Okay.
So you start going up and then they just pull you down. And you do that 10 times and then suddenly, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Cannot move my arms.
Yeah, that's true. And then you see Jones, he's just like beating the guys up.
Yeah. But now he's trained a lot with Gordon as well.
Yeah.
That must
I think Gordon is cornering him.
Ah. Oh, of really? Course he is.
Yeah. I at least read something about it. I don't know if it's true. We'll see if he enters the cage afterwards.
Damn, that's a lot of cameras, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look here.
Oh, shit. That's
Gordon. That's Gordon.
Yeah. The Dagestani Gordon.
Ah.
He looks so old, man.
Yeah. Because it's Christmas. Now he has to.
Oh, Santa. Oh, that's true. Santa. Like going in, what's it called when you go like trap them?
Like over under?
Yeah. Oh shit.
That's the end of the round.
Okay.
But that's a terrible start. It's not good for confidence.
What's the position called again? I don't even remember it.
What, a crucifix?
Yeah, crucifix. That's perfect for doing elbows.
Yes.
Who's
the guy who had like a crucifix and then he just dropped elbows to the...
I don't know who that was kind of taking the back. It was like the old guy in the gi.
But he had the crucifix on the back.
But I also think like Jones already have like a fight where he's like in the crucifix and he smashes the other guy. Yeah. Like
the thing is, like if you get them to like get stuck a little bit and then you start... they're gonna use so much energy to get out. So it's actually pretty good just to do that.
It should feel horrible.
The greatest moments ever is the guy who has like the crucifix on the. He has him in the banana split.
And then he just that was perfect.
Before they
straight to the solar plexus with the
That was sick.
Nice. Is this like Ozotogari?
I just call every takedown a Uchimata.
Yeah, that's a great Uchimata.
The thing is, like Jones do so good. It's like the transaction between striking to wrestling to everything. Like it's so smooth, you know.
Yeah.
Usually people like spread it up so much that it's different things, but it does it. So it's the same thing, kind of, if you understand what I mean.
I heard like a commentator saying like Jones is like a good guitarist that pulls up like some weird note that no one has ever heard, but it sounds good. And he mixes everything super well.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not like this perfect technique in striking or something like you have seen like textbook.
Yeah,
it's not like that. It's something else.
That's a great uppercut.
Yeah, even when I feel like every time he has such a long time off fighting, he manages to come back by the first round just managing distance control because he has such a good distance control with that length.
That sucks to have people longer than you.
Yeah,
all my career or all my fights have been against people that are so much longer than me. It sucks.
There was especially one fight I saw from you that was like this guy who was like 2 meters tall or something.
Yeah,
didn't you knock him out?
No, but, no, I didn't knock him out. But it's kind of the psychology is like you feel like he can touch you from everywhere, you know.
Yeah,
but. So you get kind of stressed out and you jump in and your distance control is so different.
Yeah.
And when you have to punch like upwards and shit, that's kind of strange.
You have to be like Mike Tyson, like
walking
like
this. Yeah, but still it's like I cannot... the guy you talked about, it was so tall that I didn't even see my hands.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like when I tried to go a lot against the body then. The legs and the body because then you get them down and then you can punch them to the face, but it's really difficult, man.
Yeah.
they're one step back and they're like 10 meters away, you know.
How many fights did you do?
I don't know, 8 or 9 or something.
Okay.
I just did it when I felt for it, you know, did it for fun.
One thing, just keep this like fist in front of your face.
Like this?
Yeah,
okay.
Fist to the face.
Yeah.
I feel like a little bit weird with something like on my face like this.
You need to put it closer.
Yeah,
closer.
Yeah.
Yes, open your mouth. Good boy.
Great, we are great hosts.
Oh. I'm standing here with some Diddy lollipop in my hand. Oh shit, that was a nice punch to the jaw of Jones. That he felt that. A lot of times people like act like they're not hurt, but they're like really hurt.
Yeah.
You see it a lot.
They were saying like punching Stipe is crazy because he doesn't like fade his face. Like he's always the same. He looks like you didn't even touch him.
Yeah, it's the same with Fedor. You remember? Yeah, he was the same. It's like you put him like in the suplex and he's on the way down. He's like.
Yeah, it should be crazy fighting people like this.
That's the greatest clip when he gets suplexed like directly on his neck and he... straight face and I come back and win.
I'm bored. Oh, that would be nice with some high kicks there.
I thought that was the game plan, like kick the body so much, then go to the head like Leon Edwards.
The thing is about body shots, it hurts you so much with the breathing that it affects everything in the fight.
Mm.
You, because it's like if I punch you in the stomach, you're like, you're gonna tense up, and now you're not breathing as well.
Oh, it should feel horrible.
And you get so tired from that. And in the end, you're more afraid of being kicked in the stomach than the face or something. And suddenly you're waking up at the floor.
Now, that's the nice thing about having someone that experienced this, because some people just talk shit on the internet and like, oh, yeah, you just got to kick the body and then you go for the head. And then they're like, oh, yeah, he should just, like, protect the body more. Yeah. No, man, you know, you're fucking hurt.
If you have you tried to, like, get hit in the liver, like, really hard?
Oh, we're not going to do that today. I know where you're going.
It doesn't hurt. I'm just going to show you, man. I promise. But after that, it's like, I've... felt how it is to get punched in the face really hard and the stomach really hard, and the face is, it doesn't hurt, it's not good for the brain, but the stomach is like, you feel like you're dying.
Okay That's a great
and it takes like 1 or 2 seconds. It's like
the knockouts, they he really got hurt.
Yeah Also the knee to the body there.
Oh, it sucks so bad. You cannot do anything except do making like funny noises on the ground, like.
That's the thing. Like, you see so many people get punched in the face and they just like smile and like fake it.
Yeah.
But when they get like body kicked, it's like the sound. You can't hide the sound, you know.
Oh no! It sucks. But it's the best when you do it to somebody else.
When does the fight end? Is like third?
It's this round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh. Oh shit. If but it's like no one knows, we're watching the Jones fight against Stipe.
Yeah.
We're in the third round, around like 4 minutes now. So
we were thinking we're going to talk about it, but we need to watch it first. So
yeah,
combine it. Oh, I love the thing. We me and Pedro talked about it in the car. I love that there's a guy like that's unbeatable till this day. Nobody has beat him.
It's nice, but sometimes it's fucking luck also.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Oh, that hurt him a lot, man. Yeah.
Ooh.
The Dominic but then Reyes fight?
Yeah. But the thing is, like, when you get punched in the head, it's like, where am I, you know?
Yeah.
You can't punch back, but sometimes your body stops working as well, you know? You don't think good. You do a lot of mistakes when you get punched in the head.
Yeah. But it's not actually pain. It's more like you just feel like not in there.
More like, have you gotten choked out before?
No, like I never passed out.
Have you almost choked out? Yeah. Like, have you heard it's like that when you get punched in the head. It's like, and you see stars and you don't actually know what's going on.
Okay.
And
ooh. Another body kick.
Sometimes you get punched in the head and you're like, where the fuck am I? Oh, fuck, I'm fighting like...
Okay.
So...
No, the only thing I got was once like a very good leg kick and then it felt so bad. Like in the quads. Uh-huh. And I felt like so much pain. It was very good kick.
Sometimes when you get punched in the head, you don't even feel like it's you fighting. It's like a dream. Oh. Steve and then you're going to think about doing the right thing, you know, it's like hard.
John Jones don't even look big compared to Stipe. His legs look so big, but he himself looks small. Like, look at the size of Stipe's face.
But he's jumped so up face. In the weight class, so yeah. Stipe... You mean Stipe looks small?
No, Stipe looks big. He looks like a big guy. Look at the size of his face compared to John Jones' face. It's like a very big face.
Yeah. Easy to punch, though.
That's true. Stipe hasn't fought since Daniel Cormier, right?
Oh,
yeah, it's like 4 years. He doesn't.
Jesus Christ!
Doesn't fight.
Shit! He gets hit a lot, and he doesn't like really go back for the punches. He just stands still,
takes them.
Then he get the full impact, you know. And then this time he went down into the punch.
Yeah.
Then it's twice as hard.
I feel like those attacks by Stipe would be like very much better from Aspinall, for example. I think there Aspinall could do a very good job.
Ooh.
That's the knockout.
There it is. Mm. But But that was like the spleen. It's not the
directly liver. In the ribs.
It's like the liver is here. And
it's the opposite
side. But he hit them a lot in the solar plexus, and sometimes it's like anywhere you punch, it's like you feel it in the solar plexus. Oh, what a nice dance, man!
Yeah, did you see he did the Trump
dance?
Look at that! Yeah, he did it.
Trump is there also.
Look at him now.
Shit. Oh, that sucks. Look at him.
Then they cut to Trump.
With the Elon Musk and the whole gang.
It's
kind of funny, man.
I want to see the slow-mo replay, then we can...
But who won the Chandler fight?
Charles won.
A submission or a knockout?
No, he won all rounds.
Unanimous decision.
Yeah.
Bonk.
He got his back.
But look, that he felt a lot, but it doesn't do anything. Like normal.
Look at this.
Yeah.
All heel,
straight. Yeah, straight into the ribs and spleen.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That will fuck you up.
But it would be actually worse on the other side.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Help me!
Okay, so yeah, that's the fight. I hope he fights Aspinall next. I don't think.
Aspinall is actually a problem, though, because he's so explosive and is like really good at everything.
And I think he's like 10 kilos bigger than Jones.
Yeah,
like 10 kilos.
It could
a
be a, like a good thing in the start, but maybe in the long run, it would be bad.
Okay.
Because it takes
it's more
a lot.
Mess. You get more energy. Yeah.
Especially against like a guy like Jones. He's very efficient in his wrestling, so he can make people work a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the biggest strength of wrestling. They can always like control your output.
Yeah, so would you see like Jones winning this fight by wrestling?
It could be if he's smart, but the Aspinall can always be explosive and just whack or submission straight away from
and
some
see, like,
crazy
he
shit.
Wins
but
fights from,
but
like,
if he doesn't, if he do that and goes to finish, and he doesn't get the finish, now it's a big problem.
Okay,
that's like I'm a very like explosive guy.
Yeah,
and my biggest fear was always gassing up because of it, and that made me like be very picky of when I try to go, because if I go and I don't get it,
okay,
then you're fucked.
I see that as well.
Okay, but. We're pretty deep into the podcast, but we can introduce Pedro.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. You have recently Pedro. Moved to Norway, right?
Yeah.
Why did you move to Norway?
Well, I moved to Norway. I feel like I interview now, but No, I moved here because I'm pursuing my dreams on becoming a jiu-jitsu fighter. And I feel like the level of jiu-jitsu here, it's really good for my athlete athlete development. And having like not only a world-class coach, but also like having very good training partners is going to be like a huge step for me.
That's nice. Cool.
Yeah.
It looks like you're adapting well as well to the environment. Because it is so different with like the cold and stuff, isn't it?
Like right now, it's a lot of rain. So with rain, I'm used to that. Like in Portugal, where I'm from, I get a lot of rain in my city. So like the rain is okay. The cold is also fine because like I'm not really caring that much about the weather. I just came here to be better in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Actually, that's true.
That's a good thing. Good thing.
I was like talking to my grandma yesterday and she was like, oh yeah, is that very cold in there? I said, yeah, but I don't care. I came here to jiu-jitsu. Like, I really don't care.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You have already done like the Haugesund baptism, which is doing sauna and going in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
yeah. How did it go?
Oh, very fine. Very fine. I didn't almost die.
Didn't you?
I didn't.
We told him. Okay. Your last time in the sauna.
Shut the fuck up.
I've heard some stories.
Fake news.
Yeah. No, it's good. Sauna is very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way of... acting like Norway has a good weather as well.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we have a lot of to give to the foreigners. We have like cold water.
Amazing contribution. And sauna wasn't really popular in Norway at all, but now it's like super popular.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, it's usually always been like a Finnish thing.
Yeah.
But then it became like almost... I think like Instagram popular.
Yeah. but still it's like you can like put the sauna on a fucking barren place with sucky weather. Yeah. And you can like go there. What's going on?
No, I'm just adjusting the camera.
Okay.
Yeah, much better.
Is this better?
Yes. This is great.
And you can put the sauna at the shitty spot with the shitty weather and you can get the like just put that up the temperature and then you can jump into the sea and like go back in again and you feel like now you can use the outside because you have the hot and cold.
Yeah.
But if you only have the cold, you fucking die, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
So many people have like asked me when I talk like, I like to do sauna and stuff. They're like, oh, so... what's the benefits and what's like, why do you do it? And I'm just staring at them like, and I throw out some of the most improvised stuff I can think of. Because I don't really know. The only thing I know is like, it feels good.
Yeah, it feels good.
But it's like, if you like make the body like uncomfortable into like, when you train, you do something bad to the body actually. So if you just do a little bit different things that are tough on the body but not too hard, then you get more resilient, like strength or conditioning or everything, and the blood flow of course is good.
Now I've been watching like so much for like my own purpose, like for recovering. So people used to say like cold baths were like incredible for muscle recovery. But now they are finding like the contrast of temperature is much better to reduce the fatigue as well.
Mm.
So like the cold bath, I feel like, okay, this gets me tough, but not for the body. It's more like, okay, I feel good after this. But the contrast of temperature is very good also for like recovery.
Yeah, I heard Huberman talk about the cold thing. Is some like bodybuilders do cold plunges after their workouts. And that's like actually... not too good because you tighten like the blood, the veins.
Yeah. But it's also like they say, like the inflammation you make from like doing the hard exercises, you take that away because of the inflammation. You want it to try to, your body sends like receptors to fight the inflammation with building more muscle. And when you take away that inflammation with cold, you don't get the maximum building of muscles. It's bad for muscles, but it's good for recovery. And like if you do a lot of like marathon or something, maybe it's good for like your knees and everything like that.
It's good for pain and relief, but it also like affects the adapting system. So if you're like training to become a bodybuilder, you're like recovering from outside shit and not your body recovering itself. So the muscle building is not optimal.
Yeah, I always like thought of like a sauna and cold like this. It's like if you think about the blood as a highway for building everything in your body. So when you're hot, it's like expands. And when it's cold, it goes in.
Yeah.
So it's like flushing the system, you know, and it flushes everything in and out, and it just helps your body make it like being more efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I think about it, but that's my own like bro
science.
Yeah. When we did like the World Pro Camp once for it was like in 2001. That's what. I think that was the time when we really started doing like intense routines, like a month of doing ocean baths every day. Ooh. And at one point, you had to do it in the morning unless you were in too much pain. You were in too much pain if you didn't do it. So you had to be a part of the routine.
Okay.
Yeah, because during like, you know, when if you do like a 10-week camp, you feel so shit.
Yeah. You feel broken.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like you had to get that like pain relief so you could go to practice in the mornings.
So like the practice is like what time is then the same
it was
time? Like,
no, then at that time it was 10.
10, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that was so we did we went in the ocean like 7:30. Then we coffee and yeah.
2 hours of only drinking coffee.
Yes, definitely. I lived with Christer at the time, and we were sitting in opposite sides of like we had two chairs.
Yeah,
and we were sitting with blankets and coffee and just like watching like Ronnie Coleman or something on the TV. And we sat there for 2 hours. Then we went to practice.
It was funny when Espen Mathisen trained with us as well. It was at Harjo. It was so cold at the gym because it was in a big garage.
Yeah.
So I remember him like drinking coffee and being inside like sweaters inside the gi.
Ooh.
And I actually heard that like people like thought it was cool to have.
Yes, I heard the same thing. Cause,
I see so many people using that just to be cool.
Yeah, but it's only because of the coffee.
Yeah, it wasn't like a fashion choice. It was like survival.
But that's funny, like you see so many things that you have to do, like for example Espen, because it was cold as fuck.
Yeah,
so it's like the same things when people use those apparels for work and then people use in the street for fashion and they don't work in the same shit. So that's so funny how like you have to use it but some people just use for fashion.
But who like I never understand fashion. Who decides what is a fashion?
Yeah.
Like, is it like, I'm going to follow this fashion. How I love to follow that guy.
I think like now you just look at people, you get like inspired. You look at them and you see like, okay, yeah, I want to be like this guy. Yeah. But people now also don't have much personality. So they just copy whatever they see somebody doing. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of like social media has definitely created like a big rift in fashion because everybody has so much.
Yeah, but have you seen like models like the old like model shows in like Paris or something? Have you seen those crazy outfits they go in the fashion? Oh, you have
I've seen
you
it.
Try to put it on the screen. It's so fucking crazy.
And
this is like the people that are like creating fashion, and I don't understand who fashion. Decides this. Who are these people?
No, I just trust people that think like fashion is the optimal. So like if you feel comfortable, that's fashion.
Yeah,
and that's good.
Yeah. Well,
these people I trust.
just when you see the craziest fashion, write the crazy fashion or something.
I got it.
like this. They have like this catwalk and people walk around like this.
Imagine.
It's like, who decides this?
This I would use.
Nice.
I would use this.
China Fashion
like,
Week.
Go up, please. Like, this guy here looks like me when I leave my bed.
You know? That would be perfect, huh? Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit. Oh, that.
She actually brought it to the streets.
Yeah.
Have you seen this was actually a pretty popular fashion thing that Balenciaga actually dropped. They sold a shirt with a shirt on top of it. So it was a shirt hanging in front of.
Okay.
I had to show you.
Yeah, I had to show me. I don't understand what you're talking about, man.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, the Balenciaga shirt.
Okay, let me show. Huh?
Oh. So you have a shirt. So you have a shirt on top of your shirt.
So I have like a shirt hanger on yourself?
Yes, it's connected on the shoulders.
So if you use the front
shirt, you can use like a backpack shirt.
Ah, the cape, well. The like cape shirt.
You can change what shirt you use. So yeah, of course.
I've never seen anybody actually do it, but that's
oh yeah, because it must cost like 10,000 euros.
Yeah, probably. I actually have to check out.
Amazing. Get me that shirt. Shirts.
Yep.
I think like designer brands just drop shit. And then people, it's designer.
They probably take sick. A lot of narcotics and this is a good idea.
Yeah.
CC.
Imagine those like this. Yeah.
It's like Eurovision. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It seems like a big a party. Ooh, a special white party. Kind of party.
The Euro DD party.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, okay. I can't find the price.
Yeah, usually that's why the price is so high. You cannot even see that.
That's true. It's exclusive. You have to know somebody to get the price.
Yeah. I could make some t-shirts like this.
Yeah. I think if you just pretend you have enough, you do it with enough confidence and you just dress up in rags and shit.
Yeah, but people will wear it. It's like if we are famous. And you don't care, and you start using some shit. There's always a gang of idiots doing the same as you.
Yeah, have you seen Kanye West?
Look up to you.
Kanye West is a designer, you know, and he does this. He just tries.
He just sees, I'm gonna use that.
Yeah, yeah. He just tries to change everybody. He's everybody should wear these clothes. It's best for the world. Yeah, it's he has a gigantic philosophy behind it always.
Yeah, always very, very good thought.
Yeah.
Behind everything he says.
Yeah. Everything. Imagine waking up one day and you say oh, I wonder what I'm gonna put down today. I'm gonna go and see what Kanye West is putting out there. What?
Yeah, that's
it's gonna be a shirt on a shirt day.
I probably use the same clothes for 10 years, so yeah,
at you,
yeah, probably. Yeah, I didn't change my size,
yeah, the same as Tommy, but it's only with his boxer shorts, they were 10 years old.
I see these boxers in the gym, some boxers there. It's no, I don't know how people use that.
Yeah,
it started like a normal boxer, but it turns out to some fashion boxer.
Yeah. when especially back in Harjar, when everybody did the bolos, every boxer had a rip on the a rip at the edge because he went for the pant grip and he ripped every boxer. So then it's everybody had this rip.
It was one time when I was with Tommy and he's gonna do Polaris against Gilbert Burns.
Okay.
put on this shady ass boxer. It was like it was so many holes. It looks so awful, man. It's like it's my weight cut boxer. Just, I really think he like took the weigh-ins in that fucking boxer. Hey. Everybody was like, "What the fuck?"
Hey, it's an extra 50 grams. Yeah.
To make weight. So a bit big tip.
Yeah.
Big tip. Yeah.
It's a new fashion.
Cut your boxers. Cut your boxers. Use like boxers.
Big
with
hole in the back.
The problem is that if you walk around in the street with a boxer with a hole, people will just think you are creepy.
Yeah.
And you know.
If you go around in
only
the boxer.
With boxers. Big creepy either way, I think.
That's true. That's after since I've been doing jujitsu, I always like go in just jogging clothing. That's like every day. But my mother, she like she told me basically in a very nice way that I looked like a bum. She's like, go and buy some clothes. I can pay for it. I'm like, no, I don't need any clothes. I just want you to look nice. I'm like, okay.
In training clothes?
No, I always go in like sweatpants and hoodies. Yeah. That's like the get up every
morning. Yeah, but after you train a lot, it's like a hassle of having nice clothes because you're always on the way to training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's comfortable clothes are the best.
Yeah, that's true.
I had like a big period as well. I did that.
Yeah.
But now I bought like pants that looks like they're nice, but they're actually just
super comfortable.
Yes.
That's nice.
So you know fashion.
Yeah. It's a hack. Disguise.
Stava, did you see the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight?
It was kind of sad, man.
It was sad.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
But you know, like, he has a big, a lot of, like, back problems. And you see whole foot.
You saw, like, he coming up to the ring.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he was biting his gloves all the time.
Oh, he has done that like a habit throughout his fighting career. He bites his glove. But
also, he went out so hard. Like, that's not good when you're old because you get the adrenaline spike, like, straight up there, and the heart needs to go down again. And when you're old,
he's 60 years old. Like, he fought pretty well for like 60 years old, but
yeah, he looks a lot better than but the cardio, man. No, at
even
60
like the
years
training
old.
Videos, like I thought like these training videos of him like just punching the pad super fast. I thought he would look like this, but yeah, that's
no,
different.
Because that they were like he did 3 punches, then they clip, then it took 3 new punches, then they clip. And maybe there's 10 minutes in between, you know?
A lot of those clips as well were from his last fight when he was 54.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So they did like some...
And he had like a lot of like health problems before.
Yeah, he got hospital. They had to postpone the fight because he got hospitalized.
Yeah.
Because of like some old man disease.
That's sad. That's sad to see.
Grandpa.
I'm gonna eat this human, you know. I'm gonna eat Jake Paul.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's like some like that old guy might be able to move better, but this is a guy who has been like he has fought his entire life, like since he was young to old. You can just imagine
and
our bodies when we're 58.
Yeah, and when he didn't fight, he partied.
Was in prison. And like, imagine your body stopped at 58.
It's not too long ago.
Because I have Ubergi.
In a few years.
No, even it looked like Jake Paul even realized, like during the fight, like, oh, I'm just punching
an old man.
I just really hope, like Tyson went out there and threw 2 punches and they just
would be so
hit him straight in the face and just flatline him. That would be perfect.
It would be so good.
Oh, yeah, how would it? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but now it's like on the internet, it's like very popular with memes because Jake Paul only fights like retired MMA people and boxers. So now it's like AI generated videos of him like, yeah, so there's this newborn being born in 7 months. He has 7 months to prepare. I'll fight him directly when he comes out.
But like, it would be cool to see him against Canelo or something. Just now you proved yourself.
I think it should be Francis Ngannou.
Francis, yes.
Yeah, that would be amazing. He would, but the problem is he would probably just pay a lot of money to spare me.
Yeah.
Let me win.
No, I was hoping
Canelo would be like too rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like what's the name of the other like light heavyweight champion in the boxing? It's like at Arthur something. He's like a Russian guy, I think.
Yeah.
Or Ukrainian. From Ukraine? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big difference nowadays. Yeah,
it's Arthur.
Yeah, we have to find out.
And this guy called out Jake Paul, like, okay, if you're that good, let's fight. And like, he's champion, so
he would never do that.
Yeah.
Jake Paul knows how to do it in his way, you know.
Even like Conor McGregor would be nice to see him fighting.
But still,
Jake.
That is a big difference in weight.
Ah, but Conor can be like big as well.
He's not big. He's an 80 kilo guy. And how big was Jake Paul?
200.
200 is like 93 kilos.
Okay.
So that's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, this guy.
Yes, this guy. Where is he from?
He looked Russian though. Yeah. Is Russian and Canadian.
Yeah, I was right.
That's a combo.
Yeah, but I was like thinking of the heavyweight guy.
Oh, yeah, the Usyk.
Yeah, he's Ukrainian. But Ukraine has a lot of good boxers, man.
They have good fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see like, I feel like boxing has become like just an influencer paradise nowadays.
Yeah.
It's like spectacles, and even like the heavyweight champion is fighting Francis. And Francis is fighting more heavyweight champions than the heavyweight champions are fighting each other. Because
before it was like, remember, it was so strict, like who are the best?
Yeah.
And everybody was like talking about, fixed fights.
Yeah.
But now there are fixed fights, obvious fixed fights.
Yeah.
And
but now people I let think, it like, go. You we know? Already have like MMA and it's much better in these terms. Like, they were Dana White was saying like the good thing about the UFC is that the best will fight the best.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Aspinall should fight Jon Jones. It's like the fight to make.
Yeah.
You know, and
the
best should fight the best. It's not
always,
like a.
The thing is, like UFC, is very good at branding and making fights.
Yeah.
But in boxing, it always been like this. Every fighter is a solo show.
Okay.
And they all have like different organizations.
Yeah. So now like they use the influencers to get the hype, but now they don't have any talent, you know. So if they combine that it will be like boxing as UFC.
Yeah.
Because UFC is like talent and a good showbiz around it.
That's true.
That's how I think about it almost.
Dana White also mentioned that he was going to dip his toe into boxing in 2025.
Yeah, because that's I think like you're very good at marketing things, so they probably give him a chance to do it. You know.
Yeah, definitely. And so many, I feel like UFC fighters wants to go over to boxing eventually.
Oh yeah, some guys could go really well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of like injuries you get from MMA, you can probably do it a lot of it with only boxing then, because you don't need your legs
even
and
like
everything.
All the takedown shit.
Yeah. But the brain damage though is that sucks.
That's true.
But yeah, maybe you have an ACL, but you don't have more brain.
Just tape it up. It's okay.
I think so many knockout artists wants to like. Let me just punch, okay? I don't want to deal with this Dagestanian guy.
Yeah.
But imagine the slap thing. I don't understand that shit. Yeah, it's like you don't even get to try to like defend don't get yourself. Hit. Yeah. Like, hit me as hard as you can. I'm gonna get fat, so my head is like heavier.
Yeah,
that's the whole game plan.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What?
I don't get it. No, it's I've seen like Dana White has been running like defense for the slap fighting stuff. Like this is it's the most popular sport ever. I don't think so. Like no, who would buy a pay-per-view for a slap fight?
That's you can see like it's always gonna be the same. Yeah, one guy is gonna slap the other. There's no like, yeah, this guy is super technical.
Yeah,
he's really really good in slapping.
Me slap hard.
Yes.
Like, me take punch good.
Every pre-fight interview is just that. What do you do? I slap.
Every event you go to, you're a little bit stupider.
Yeah, that's the suspense about like even in all of like martial arts, especially when you go to like wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, and MMA, is the combination of styles like at an elite level. Who will actually take the edge? Will this guy manage to crack the code? There's like a technical like suspense to it, like what will actually happen here? And you can make your predictions, but you never really know. But yeah, when there's one dimension to it, that's slap to the face.
One guy is 70 kilos, the other guy is 160. Who's going to win this slap fight? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but then you get the Russians and they make some cool things. You get like a woman only with a bikini. And then you have to slap her, and she cannot move her feet. So she would be like bending. You have to slap her on the butt, and she cannot move. She has to stand straight.
But did you see this video?
Instagrams, man.
But that's true. The Russians make the crazy shit.
They make like jujitsu in the car. I don't know, like boxing in a phone cabin.
This fat guy that fought like two girls or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal.
This is like freak shows from hell, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
One gigantic man versus like two two small women. It's so insane. Oh,
is this allowed?
It's only
and
Russia,
sometimes
man.
They have like this knight battle with the armor. Have you seen that?
I know.
Yes.
With swords fighting. Okay. And they do MMA and the do with the
crazy
crazy. But they are in like fully clothed in like armor, so nice. They're like
have you seen it?
I have never seen that.
That is crazy. That looks actually kind of cool.
Yeah
But it must be not nice for the head as well, because it like imagine being inside,
imagine
of
the
that
impact.
clean clone
yes.
The brain is like
now there's also another league that's like
look at this. It's even in the MMA ring, you know.
Yeah.
Looks healthy to me, I don't know.
Yeah.
Boom.
Ooh.
Boom.
Oh. Great dodge.
Off with the head. Off with the head. Oh. Shit. But can we show this?
Good question. I think so. I think so. It's
Russian.
It's Russian.
Nobody care.
Yeah. It should go under fair use, but we'll see.
Looks like I wonder where it is.
Oh, takedown!
Now we're doing MMA, man. Fuck your sword! Punch to the face!
Oh my god!
Oh,
yeah. Oh my god!
Look at him! He's not moving.
Can you tap? Maybe I could.
still moving.
Jesus Christ. That's I've heard about you know, American football.
Yeah.
Like it's actually and also in boxing, if you train with like a helmet, it's worse because you shake it. It's like
it you get more
and you can
torque
go harder as well.
Yeah, but you get like more torque because your head is bigger, but still one also a point is like your head is bigger and then you get punched more.
Okay.
Because it's harder to still if you have like like leverage is how far it is like with the head. So if I punch the tip of your head, it's gonna rotate more
Okay. Okay.
The long head.
Okay.
And that's how I feel. I hate doing with headgear because I use my shoulder a lot.
Okay.
To hide my face, but when so I use the helmet, I'm like this. This is not good. But if I can do like this, it's a lot better because I can hide my face and roll with the punches.
Okay. I never thought of that, but that makes sense.
Because the brain is floating inside your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you have cuff.
Yeah. You're going to have impact. You have more impact as well. Yeah, like because
you can even shake the brain to death. Okay.
Imagine the medieval fight here when he's on the ground and he's fucking shield bashing him into his helmet, like metal. Just, it's probably not
did
too good.
Did you guys know that you can get head trauma from getting like kicked in the stomach or something as well? Because you shake
but
in
how,
the body.
But like, how strong has it to be? Like, imagine like getting a punch in like a kick.
They say
in the stomach.
Like if you do like this like jet ski, the one you're riding, if you slam a lot against the wall when you're driving, that's enough to fuck your head.
Ooh.
So probably like takedowns and stuff is not that good. That's why I'm so special.
And the guys in judo defending takedowns with the head,
of course,
that's crazy.
It has to have an effect.
Yeah,
but of course, getting
like
punched straight in the face.
A career in judo and you slam your back all day is probably not the best.
Yeah,
I just when I worked on a ship, I could get headaches if it was like a complete day of just slamming onto the ocean floor because it's so dense.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
That's weird.
Motion in the ocean. I have to take a quick piss.
Yes.
So talk about something good.
We can talk about peace.
Oh. Have you seen some videos on Instagram?
Now I'm just excited for The Crown tonight.
Me too. I want to watch Taina.
Yeah, that's an exciting class. Yeah. But I'm also excited for the ultra heavies.
Yeah,
because that's
all these cards. They are nice.
Yeah,
they are all nice.
Because now you see also in like the heavyweight, ultra heavy. You have so many different styles. You have like Kjetil, the Norwegian guy.
Yeah,
he is very specific in his game. He does that.
Okay, but he's more like guard player or
plays a deep half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he does like what is it, like lapel choke from side control.
Okay.
Yeah, but and then you have like Muniz, who is like super technical, that spins and does everything. So it's going to be.
This is the same as Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam is one below.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because he is in Batista's class.
Okay. Okay. This one is nice as well.
Yeah. For those who don't know, there's a jiu-jitsu event called The Crown, which is like, it's like a world championship. It's like an invitational. You can get they invite like the best athletes from each class, and you can win like a crown, which is the coolest medal of them all. So that's I don't even know if you earn money. It's only the crown is like
the crown is nice.
Yeah,
the crown is nice. It's better than a belt.
Yeah, if you if I ever won a crown, I would just have it in the gym all the time.
Yeah, you can call me king.
Yeah,
walk everywhere with the crown.
Pull up to family dinners.
Yeah. You can walk in the street with a crown. But if you walk around with a medal or a belt, you just look like a dork.
That's true.
But if you walk like with a crown, people will look at you and okay, this is my king.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. Nobody wears a crown there's something with you if you have a crown.
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Yeah. You won something, didn't you?
I'm the king.
Yeah, it's
I'm the king.
Yeah, it's aura points.
Yeah.
Espen Mathisen is also fighting. Do you know who he's fighting?
No, he's a Brazilian guy, but I don't know who it is.
Espen is fighting today?
Yeah, that's... where was it? Abu Dhabi or something?
No, Brazil. It's going to be in Brazil, I think. It's
Brazil?
In Rio.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's also, we just talked about it, the crown is today. Remember that?
Crown?
Yeah, it's like a IBJJF competition.
That you get a crown.
Yes.
You get a crown?
Yes, you get a crown.
Why am I not competing?
Yes.
I need a crown.
And it's a cool crown as well. It's not like
king.
I need to pull up this crown.
It's not just like a Burger King crown. It's
That would be funny if they just gave him that.
Looks good to me.
Lucas Valente, he has been fighting.
Hey, good accent.
Seriously? A serio?
A serio, yeah. Oh, Fifan, I know this guy.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be sick.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then you had, I'm going to pull up the crown. I don't think they started doing this after Tommy retired from the Gi, and I think they just didn't want him to have a crown.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
We should have like this Viking event where you can get the Viking helmet.
Yes.
Or like an X.
You don't only have a crown? Yeah. Oh my God. But to like move it quick, should we talk about more about you, Pedro?
Okay.
Yeah. Or like with the
crown
is nice.
That's a crown?
Yes, that's a crown. It's a Hello. Cool crown.
So
this
is that like kind of worlds like in the
yeah, it's like a world's invitational kind of.
Okay.
It's or they do like it's not considered a world title, but it's like
It's one more invitation, or right?
yeah.
So it's like only the best.
They get the best.
So it's not like a random guy going around with the crown after.
No, but they could have. They could have picked more like better athletes as well. Like they're like the card is incredible, but they could have put like just the elite.
Yeah but they have to pay people a lot then. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, Mika is not fighting.
Diogo Hayes is not fighting. Yeah.
Fabricio
is not fighting. Okay. Tommy is not fighting.
Yes.
Espen is not fighting.
Yeah, let's talk about like a little bit about what's going on with Tommy right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think he just want to show his asshole in the...
Yeah. I was just about to say the same thing.
Like if every reel you get closer and closer to
That's a completely different way of doing
it.
Yeah, I've seen like girls do it, but not guys, man.
Yeah, well, if you're confused, go to Tommy's Instagram and watch the reel. Tommy is on a seminar tour right now. And he is making daily videos of his seminars. If you watch from day one, you will see a progression of nudity.
Yeah, I think he's egging us that he's gonna open like OnlyFans or something.
I think so. That's a smart move.
Yeah, smart.
But the last
getting
one
a lot of likes.
The last one he posted, like, is the one he sits in the camera. I almost smelled it. It was like so. I got like, oh, fuck.
Okay.
You know what we call him? The pest from the Northwest.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What does it mean?
The Northwest, like Northwestern Europe, is like Norway, though, and the pest.
Okay.
We had like these tricks with the Gi as well before.
Had a smelly Gi in competition.
Yeah. Smelly cat. Mr. Smelly cat.
You said something.
Yeah, I was just like talking about like how it's been like to train in Norway and how it is compared to where you trained before and what have you seen like in the BJJ community.
So I think here I feel like I love the place I train over there in Portugal. Like people are crazy good, but they are very new beginners. So I'm not saying that beginners cannot help you to grow, but sometimes it's harder when you need like competition roles. So I love my coach over there. Like, he's super smart. He plans everything super well. He's super well organized. I've never seen no one as organized as he is. And I really appreciate that because it helps me a lot. Like, it will help me a lot for my career. But I feel training here, I can just push my body harder, you know? Like, I can have more technical roles because people are more technical. They practice for more time. They are more involved in the scene as well. So I've been here before, like, for those who don't know, I've been like 2 or 3 weeks over here. And when I went back home the last time, I talked to my family and I said, like, there I feel like I breathe jiu-jitsu. So I feel like I'm like in the jiu-jitsu scene. So everyone talks about jiu-jitsu. They have jiu-jitsu as a part of their daily life. And in Portugal, I felt like I wanted that, but I could never have it.
It was more like hobbyists.
Yeah. I have good training partners there, but at the same time, you know, they didn't have to go every day. And I can understand that. They are not fighters. Of course. Are like hobbyists. So here I feel like people are more into the competition scene and it can help me a lot. And people are here are so nice as well. If there was like a bunch of assholes, I would never come back. But people are good in jiu-jitsu and very nice as well.
Can you like elaborate? Is that the word? Elaborate on like how Norwegians are. I don't know. I'm just... I cannot see it through your eyes, you know?
Yeah. So... I cannot speak for like all Norwegians because I just know Norwegians that has the same interest as me.
Yeah.
So like the Norwegians I know, they all like jiu-jitsu, so it connects me with them. But I just think people here are very like, they follow the rules really nice. How do I explain that? Like, people here have this sense of community different than any place I've seen. So people want to help, and when they say they will help, they will help. You know, they follow their words, and that's a very nice thing because, you know, you're not going to be left over like, okay, you want help? I said I would help. I'm not helping, so you figure it out. No, if somebody said, like, I'm helping you, they will help you. And that's a very good... thing. What else? I see people here as very helpful and overall very helpful, and at the same time very like I don't know, they have like the dog in them in training, you know, like they want to go like hard, they want to spar hard. I think it's a trait you guys have from the Vikings, maybe. that's nice. It's like, let's go to Valhalla. That's something like this. And that's just nice. That's nice.
Huh. Yeah, that's... we've gotten that we go sometimes, like, at our gym, we have a lot of people that don't really like study technique very in depth. But we go... we go hard. And that's like our way of learning is like hitting your head into the wall until it sits.
But the thing is...
But I think you're a guy that likes to study, and like I see that on you. Like, I feel you are a guy that likes to be like watching fights, watching positional things. That's a nice thing.
Yeah, you got to stay a little bit in it.
Me smash.
Every time he is like so much. He's trained like fighting for 25 years. Every time he comes he works offshore. Every time he comes home, he's like, I don't remember anything, but proceeds to smash you. I don't remember anything, but I'm doing things.
That's a long time fighting, you know.
But still, it's more like it's like surfing, you know. It's like you feel like
feel how to stay on top of a wave, but you don't remember like the tricks, like
okay.
only this thing and this thing, it just happens.
Okay. Okay. It's more like a habit, you know, your body just use it to do that. So
yeah,
just
because a lot of people don't talk about like how much it has to do with how you move your body and when you roll against somebody, how you put your weight, how you like every those small things. It's like when you ride a bike, you don't understand, like you don't think like this foot and that, and then you don't think like that, you just do it.
Yeah.
And when you do it,
you're not thinking about the angle of the bike.
Yeah. But you can train your balance of training balance.
Yeah.
And you just become better at doing balancing stuff.
Yeah.
Eddie Bravo talked about that because he got like a wave of breakdancers.
Okay.
What is the his main athletes? I think all of them were breakdancers at one point. And he said, like, they learn jiu-jitsu so fast because they know how to... For them, it's nothing new to be, like, upside down, having to spin to get on top.
Okay.
Those movements, if they are... the hardest part of learning jiu-jitsu is not always the specific technique, but being able to move the way you are supposed to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It would be funny to see, like, what's it called in English? Is like the turn, like gymnastic people, like the super athletes of gymnastics do BJJ.
Yeah,
that would be crazy.
Like, this would be nice. Yeah,
yeah.
But and still, I feel like wrestlers are like semi gymnastics.
Yeah, they are. They are like freaking athletes. Mm. They can do like everything.
But still, it's like a lot of wrestlers are like, they have like this, a lot of people train wrestling, and the people that don't cut it to be smashing people at the gym, they quit.
Okay.
So you get the strongest left. So you get like these fucking meatheads in the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You get a lot of people that don't have any athletic capabilities, but they are very good at using technique.
Yeah,
that doesn't
usually they're small people.
Yeah, you know? And that doesn't happen in wrestling that much. So that's why I think it's more like the athletes come from there, because there is like evolution of picking the strongest
you
people.
See, like, the most part of jiu-jitsu athletes, and I speak by myself, like, don't run a lot, and they cannot run a lot because they gas out. Like, wrestling athletes, they do everything. They run, but they don't have that thing about being, like, smarter, because they don't have to sometimes. They just can be, like, strong. And
yeah, because they have, like, well-adapted routines with good coaches that train them. In Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it's like simple things that every people that do sports know. BJJ guys don't know.
Yeah.
Because they're like, don't run. They don't do like simple. There's so much to get better at. Yeah. But because they don't know simple shit, because they're too locked in into only what the other Brazilian people do.
Yeah.
But this is a sport as everything else. So you should think about what do the Olympic people do.
That's true.
I remember when you introduced the interval training.
Yeah.
That was like all of a sudden everybody had cardio. It was like everybody
what a miracle.
Everybody could like wrestle for 5 minutes straight and was like, oh, what the fuck? This actually... You can actually do other things than jiu-jitsu to improve your jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. They've been knowing about this stuff like for... hundreds of years, maybe thousands.
I think you see like everything the Russians do, and you do the same, you're gonna be good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
see
true.
The Soviet wrestling programs, and you're gonna be good.
Yeah, and that is also for the Olympics.
Yeah,
so that's how it works.
yeah.
But I think like some people have started, like the B team. Yeah. They have like this German guy, and he basically teaches them
like the way that the Olympics does it, and everybody's like, "Wow!"
But no, it's like so basic. He was talking in a podcast about like periodization, like, okay, you should rest here, you should do this, and the guys were like, "Oh my god, that's crazy news!" And that was just simply like, "Okay, you should take a deload week."
Yeah.
That's simple, but they were like in the comments of the podcast, "Oh my god, this guy is like a genius."
Yeah. But because every single like jiu-jitsu fighter has like at least at the top have like 5 years of like literally destroying themselves. I remember Tommy back in the days when he went on antibiotics. He had to have like 2 weeks off almost. Then he came back and felt great and was like, "Oh, I respond well to antibiotics." No. You've had rest.
I remember talking to him about that. Sometimes when he traveled like to America and trained for fucking long time, and he has been to Norway a long time and didn't train that much, but then he went to America, trained super hard. And then he come back like, "Oh, I felt great this time." But because that was not what he planned, but it happened like perfect timing, okay. You know?
Okay.
So that's how it started with the ADCC and everything. Then we tried to do the same there.
Yeah, the first trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sick. The first trial was like super.
It was a stud.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think... BJJ, when the people like the average Joe starts doing the routines that we know work, you're gonna see a spike.
Like it's getting more professional now. Like people wouldn't do like physical training. Like they just do jiu-jitsu and they get super fucked. You see the Miao's brother.
The thing is like the unbalance of the body because you always use the left side or the right side and then suddenly you're like this and then you see them try to run.
Yeah.
It looks so funny.
And then you add a little bit of autism and everyone looks super weird.
Now when I went to the physical therapist for my hip and knee, he's like, "But you have so much wrong with your back." It's like it was so many problems. Because if you do gi, like you prefer one side and you do like pulling only like here, but then you create an imbalance. Yeah, then you have like one side in no gi that you only like to, I only go for underhooks here. Then you're, so you create this strange off balances.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's smart to run a little bit when you're a BJJ guy, because you can like run like
you
in
teach
a good
your body
position and maybe use a running coach. They have like techniques to run correctly, so use that and train weights.
Oh, when I was here as well, like I did not run at home, but the last time I ran here with you guys, and then when I went back home, I kept running for like before coming here, and I felt so good when I had to wrestle because I felt much more like muscle and mind connection to the feet. I felt more coordination and just I think running helped me a little bit. I'm not gonna say that wasn't like technique, because of course like I improved my technique, but also like the coordination being on my feet.
That could be a possibility, but also when you get if I get you tired, then you're gonna think less good and everything's gonna get fucked up and your technique gets worse, and when your technique gets worse you get even more tired, and it's like a never ending cycle that goes like straight down. So it's very important with cardio. It's always the most important thing you should care about.
One of the big realizations for me was like cardio wise was when I did all my cardio in jiu-jitsu, then it comes from sparring, and it's sparring you usually go like get pretty high heart rate, but for developing cardio you're not supposed to like peak your heart rate almost unless you do like intervals, but if you do like biking and long running you're supposed to like stay in like a decent heart rate zone, and that's where you develop most cardio.
It's true, But also when you spar, it's like you trust your feelings about how hard you train. So maybe you're doing a shitty workout, but if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know if you're really training your cardio or not.
Yeah.
And you also just have a feeling, and then sometimes that feeling is good or bad, and it doesn't make sense at all.
It's very
subjective. Yeah.
And also, like, in sparring, you can go very hard for, like, a... You cannot keep like 6 minutes very hard doing jiu-jitsu. You're going to probably do like 10 seconds really hard. And then you get in a good position and then you rest a little bit.
Yeah.
So then you just get like good rolling.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
maybe your cardio will not be optimal.
Yeah.
That's
100%. That's why I like having like an easy way to just train straight up cardio.
Okay.
Because then you see if you're in good shape or you only have like very good technique, because sometimes you have really good technique, but sucky cardio.
People say like the white belts usually get really good physical conditioning because they don't have technique. So then 100%. They have to go for the
100%.
And then you're going to start like going for the upper belts and your like physical conditioning goes like down because you don't do shit.
I've seen a lot of people that like when they start, they lose a lot of weight, but then they stop at one point because now they're competent, they know technique, now they know how to relax.
Just call me Papa-san. I'm going the stomach is back. I'm gonna put it smash the face. I want this Master Ken gi.
Okay.
That would be nice to have with the red one? Short arms. The red gi.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. The
Master
guy that
Ken?
Yeah.
That would be perfect. If I
you should join like
this. I want
Oh, this rash guard is sick.
Oh shit. Yeah, the rash guard as well. Where can we buy that shit?
That's sick.
Oh, this guy must be really good. He has a lot of degrees.
I need to put
he's very good. And he's the best, actually.
I need to take the beard and get the mustache.
You know Chuck Norris?
Yeah.
He learned from him.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is this his job as well? It's like only being masked?
I think so. I've never seen him do anything else, at least.
I'm gonna think of that when I go to work.
Yeah,
I could be Master Ken.
Oh my god. Yeah, so you're heading to Ireland.
I'm heading to Ireland. I'm gonna do the Dublin Open over there.
Yeah.
In the gi. Yeah.
What weight?
82. Kilos. Gonna go as middleweight.
Do you know how many people there's in the class?
I think maybe 6 or 7.
That's
seven
nice.
Or six, yeah. Count with me.
Yeah.
So that's
me. You have to win, because if you lose, we're gonna lock the door.
Yeah, I don't find my card. No. My card. I don't wanna be homeless in Norway.
They're not helping me at all, Mom.
Yeah, that was all fake. I already did the interview. Now it's filmed. I said they were nice.
We have you on tape.
We have it on tape. Good enough. So you went to like Stavanger one time and
I've
Bergen?
Never been in Stavanger.
Oh, only in Bergen?
Only Bergen, yes, in Oslo.
How was that?
It was nice. It's really nice to see the nature in the middle of the city, like a city in the middle of the mountains. It's really nice. It's really nice. I've never seen that in other places. And we've been there as well in an open mat, and really good. The level here is really good.
Yeah, it was nice to roll with. It was like three gyms.
I think it was like Frontline, Bergen Grappling, and
Tenth Planet.
Yeah. The guys are really good. It's nice how like such a small country with like not many people have like so many good people in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's like an indoor sport and people get good like because they have
a lot of things to do here, so we just fight.
No, but people are good. People are good.
We speculated once of why so many people get good international results here. And we don't really have local competitions. So okay. you're forced to like spend your last money to like travel to some place and actually attempt to win in like an international competition. And that, I think that builds a pretty good mindset. It's okay. like a lot of sacrifice.
Okay. I feel like one thing I feel like Norwegians are good at is like when you go out to fight, we don't really care who the fuck you are. You know, it's like a lot of people get like absorbed in that, like, this guy. Yeah. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's like, what the fuck? Just, I'm going to win. And like, if you say that to some people, are, who do you think you are? And like, what?
Okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
People because just you lose just because you don't try your best, because you don't believe that you can win.
Yeah. That was, we were talking the other day about Mika. And like, I think people sometimes lose to Mika. Not because Mika is not good. He's like incredibly good. Mm. But people just get super afraid. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, it's Mika. He's going to do these and that. And like, I think the last world, the guy got like a very good takedown on him. And then he lost the match. Because I don't know if he didn't believe he could like win the rest, but he could.
So,
you know?
So if I have like a really nice armbar or something like that, and I don't want to use it to hit it on the guy because I don't believe that I can do it, then suddenly you change the whole game you have, you know?
Yeah. But also I think people like the last time I came here, it was very interesting because Tommy is like very good, known as a super good athlete all over the world in the jiu-jitsu scene. And then when I came here, nobody treats anyone as different. So doesn't matter if it's Christian, Matthias, or Tommy, they're going to introduce themselves like the same. They're going to talk to you the same. They're going to be the same. So in Roland is the same thing. He doesn't care if I'm like these or that. He just went to roll and did a good rolling. And maybe when you put yourself, what's called the Yantelov?
Oh, Yantelov.
Yeah. When you don't put like yourself above others, you cannot put others above yourself as well. So that's a good thing. And I think I don't know how is the mindset of people, but maybe when you treat everyone as a possible opponent and as a good opponent, it becomes like a fair fight for like no sides get okay, this guy is much better, he's gonna win, or I'm much better than him, I'm gonna win. So
it's hard for me to put it out because I've always been in like
Norway.
I don't know. But I feel like a bad feeling in my stomach when I see one guy that is like famous and they act like a fucking like cult leader.
Yeah.
And I get, who the fuck is this guy?
I am a black belt, you know who I am, huh?
Yeah.
It's strange as fuck.
Yeah.
I am the guy, knowledge of life or something like that, because they are good at jiu-jitsu and now they're going to tell everybody what to do, how to do, live your life. And it's so crazy.
Red belt in life. this is.
But in Norway, that's also like a big culture thing where you're allowed to like complain and say shit to your bosses and stuff. That's not, or like if you work with your boss, he's just an, He's not like a different level. Like he doesn't have like superiority other than like a title.
It's not like the Trump way. You're fired.
I really think everybody in America should do it.
You have that voice as well.
Have you seen the Conor McGregor?
Shoot your melt. That's what I'm going to do now. I'm just going to speak like Conor McGregor.
Oh, do you have to dim it out and get a little bit blonde in there and go around in Ireland?
We said that they should only speak Irish. I will do Irish. Some,
yeah. I will just
that
speak Irish.
That would be
Irish.
Really funny if you go into the matches and act like you're like Conor McGregor.
Shoot your mouth, you little fool.
Everybody would be so confused that they won't think about the match, only about like what is going on.
Yeah. Oh, that's like...
Have oh, you little fool. I'm gonna... I break people's face for money and bounce.
if you start first like really like Brazilian accent and in the middle of the round you start talking like this, oh, will be funny.
Mental warfare. Have you heard Valentina Shevchenko, what she did before her fights?
What she did?
She went over to Rose and she just said, like they crossed paths, and instead of like saying nothing or anything, she just said, "Did you guys get the tickets?" And then she left. And then they started talking in the team, like, "What tickets? Should we get some tickets? Weren't we supposed to? Yeah, weren't we supposed to find something?"
Genius.
They, they started genius. Calling people and started calling Dana, and like, "There's no tickets."
Oh, it's nice. It's so. Nice, like I've seen this so many times when people fight MMA, especially because the nerves are so high, and if you just like a little tiny seed of doubt, so that something is wrong, and they everybody go crazy.
It's like
I feel something pain in my arm. Oh, something wrong with my arm. Something I need to go to.
Oh,
bathroom.
Did you guys drink the water from the bathroom?
Yeah. What happened to the water?
Yeah. Like that. People go insane, man.
Did you guys eat acai?
What acai?
Just give them the look.
Like, oh, that's good. That's good. I'm
good luck at your fights.
I thought about once on spraying like women perfume before fighting. So then when you were fighting and the guy smelled, oh, fuck, this guy smells really good. Oh, he remembered my girlfriend and just started to get crazy. Like,
that's great.
That's a deep one.
Yeah. Oh, now the mental warfare thing is did you guys get the tickets one? I think
that was a genius move.
Yes.
Genius.
That's nice. Ask the guy if he washed the ghee. Like, you washed the ghee? that would be nice.
Oh, well. We have been going for 1 hour and 26 minutes.
Okay, so have we said about the podcast as, I don't know, people that doesn't know Norwegian, hasn't seen that this before?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So this is so this is our first English episode, but this is CMT-podden. Me, Stava, and Tommy does a podcast. Sometimes we bring on guests like Pedro, and we talk about jiu-jitsu and fighting and our lives and stuff like that. And we're going to attempt to do some more English episode, bring on some other diverse guests, and I think it's going to be good. So yeah, that's at least the same tempo.
And chaotic or something like that. Yeah. Don't mind me and my pronunciations. I'm gonna fuck it up a lot. So
great. Okay. Kalalero.
Yeah.
See you later.